If we try to listen, we find it extraordinarily difficult because we are always projecting our opinions and ideas, our prejudices, our background, our inclinations, our impulses. When they dominate, we hardly listen at all to what is being said. One listens and therefore learns only in a state of silence, in which this whole background is in ambience, is quiet. Then, it seems to me, it is possible to communicate. And this week's opening quote comes from Jiddu Krishnamurti. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back here talking to you folks. I am at present home in Police State Australia, and my word, it certainly is fast becoming a police state. It seems to be ramping up every minute of every day. It's just amazing, folks. I thought it was bad when I left a month ago, but it certainly has gotten out of control in the month that I've been away, and there seems to be more and more legislation coming down the pipeline to make it even more out of control. What a fun place to be. Of course, there's always a positive aspect to all of this, folks, and that is that it gives us the ability to actually step into our power, and I will touch on that a little bit later on. But for the moment, it's probably advisable to just inform you of what's actually going on in this once great country. So, to get things started, unfortunately, the Maitreya Festival that I was due to speak at last weekend was cancelled at the last minute by the council. The council basically brought in the stormtroopers and stopped the entire festival for safety concerns. Well, that's what they allege anyway, permits and all this sort of rubbish. Of course, it had nothing to do with that. They were doing it just simply because they wanted to stomp on the people and exercise a little bit of authority. It's also very notable that this was the first year that they were actually having conscious speakers come to the Maitreya Festival in an attempt to reorient the thinking of the New Ages. We were going to have talks on what is legal versus what is lawful and steps we could take to try to address the unfolding police state. And so, of course, they closed it down. That same weekend, I believe, or the weekend before, they also closed down Byron Markets. They did so without any announcement whatsoever. They just sort of came in the morning and said, no, we're expecting rain today, so we've cancelled the markets. And this is the livelihood of many of the people in the local area who showed up with their produce, and it cost them literally thousands of dollars in not just lost profits, but in produce that they'd brought there to sell at the markets. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that they've done to the public there. And at the same time, the government is bringing in legislation which will see $5,000 fine and up to 7 years jail for anybody who protests any mining operations. So we are really seeing it unfold in absolute waves here in Australia, ladies and gentlemen. As I said to you on the show a couple of years ago, I've been saying for the last couple of years, there is a huge plan to open Australia up for mining. They intend to mine our food bowl, the Darling Downs, and turn it into a coal mine. And there's even been posts I've been seeing on websites advertising the massive profits to be made and the good investments at the moment in the Australian mining boom, which is about to unfold. And people are investing in this and thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to make a lot of money out of this mining boom. And they're not realizing that what it's going to do is destroy the country. And what they are actually investing in is the destruction of their country and thus their own destruction and their enslavement to this horrible corporate system, which is being rolled out and ramped up. This, of course, is being brought into all our countries via the mechanism of the TPP, or Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And even the people of Apothralia are beginning to not be so apathetic anymore because they are beginning to see that it is in their face. Even many of the Byron Bay New Agers are not being so complacent anymore. Even a lot of the people who've been saying, you know, just maintain a positive energy and we're all going to head for wonderful times, are starting to see that they've been played and that they actually have to start paying attention to what their government is doing. Because what the Australian government is doing, folks, is essentially racketeering. And that's what we've got in this country, folks. We don't have a government. We have a bunch of racketeers that are doing everything they can to milk as much wealth out of the population as they possibly are able to do. And that is the unfortunate truth, folks. And people are beginning to see it because it's now getting right out of control. All the things that we've been saying to look out for, that we really need to pay attention and watch out for what's coming down the pike, everything we've been saying, well, it's virtually here, folks. It's right in your face right now. And it really is time for people to begin paying attention and begin mounting some sort of an action in their local community to address this situation. One telling sign out of this is at least Malcolm Turnbull's popularity is plummeting like a stone at the moment, just due to his fascist actions of his fascist government. They mentioned in the Byron newspapers the other day, they called people who protest coal seam gas mines and people who protest mining companies as eco-fascists, is what they labelled them as in a local Byron newspaper a couple of weeks ago, folks. This is, of course, the government circumventing anyone labelling them as fascists. So they make an incredibly fascist statement by saying that little old ladies who protest coal mines are eco-fascists. This is the most fascist statement, folks, but it is showing people what is going on anyway. And as I said, Malcolm Turnbull's popularity is plummeting. But that is some small consolation, because the real question that needs to be asked is what type of an action can we mount to deal with this rapidly deteriorating situation in the once free country of Australia? And there might be people out there who say, oh, look, this is just rampant fear-mongering. And, folks, if people are telling you that, I would suggest that they're government agents that are being paid to keep you complacent, because this is not fear-mongering. This is reality. And it's got to the point that I am virtually leaving this country, folks, because it's not going to be safe to live here anymore if the people do not get up off their backsides and start making a little bit of noise about what's going on around them. I mean, as I said, mandatory vaccines, they're even talking about spraying vaccines from the skies, folks. And yes, they wish to do this. That's how bad it's got in Australia. They're literally going to be spraying us with chemicals to breathe in. And it's anybody's guess what these chemicals will be. But of course, it's not just Australia. I'm being told that there are rampant arrests happening all across France for no particular reason. People are just being picked up and arrested and brutalized by police. The French police are absolutely out of control since they staged the Paris attacks. It's also much the same in the United States, of course. The United States has been deteriorating rapidly for years, and the same goes for the UK. We're seeing it right around the world. They're bringing in mandatory vaccinations in many places as well. They've seen the success that they had here in Australia, and they're talking about extending it in Australia later in the year as well. They're also talking about just rumours that perhaps people should be prevented from flying if they are not fully vaccinated as well. And of course, once these rumours start, they usually end up becoming reality, because that's just the way the government plays these things. They put these rumours out just so they can gauge the public reaction. And if the public doesn't react in the right way, well, they just sort of put it on the back burner for a little while until they get the right reaction. And usually the only right reaction they need is to keep the public distracted with all of this other rubbish that's going on, so they can just sort of slip this legislation in under the carpet while nobody's looking, and then just basically announce that it's happened. That seems to be the way with the Australian government. The Australian government is so corrupt, folks. It really is absolutely rotten and 100% corrupt to its very core. Remember, these are the people who staged the Port Arthur massacre and incarcerated Martin Bryant for that crime, a man who was completely innocent, a man who has the IQ of an 8-year-old or something, an 11-year-old. He has an IQ of 66, and they blamed him for the crime, and he's been rotting away in jail for the last 20 years. He's never faced any charges. He's never had any trial. There's never been any evidence presented to reinforce the government version of what happened. And there is so much evidence to indicate that this was actually staged by the John Howard government that it just boggles the mind that it's never been brought to public light. Well, really, it doesn't boggle the mind. It just shows that the corrupt mainstream media does their job and feeds the government line to the people, and the people swallow it hook, line, and sinker. But there is a lot of evidence coming out recently. There's been a lot of talk about Martin Bryant, and there has been a lot of talk about the Port Arthur massacre. I think recently I've been told that some Australian television station actually aired a special on the Port Arthur massacre 20 years on, and I would suggest that they've done this just to try to combat the amount of flack and the amount of truth which is actually surfacing about the event and the amount of evidence that shows that it was most definitely staged by the government. And it was done in order to disarm the Australian people for exactly the reasons that are unfolding in the country now. It must be remembered that it is John Howard government who signed off on deals selling Australia's food bowl to China and who signed off on all the coal seam gas deals. Successive governments have supported these deals for sure, but it was the Howard government that signed off on these huge mining operations that are about to unfold. And I would suggest that when he did so, he realised just how bad it was going to get and realised that they needed to disarm the Australian people in order to pull it off and to bring this police state online. And so that's what they did. And they've waited 20 years to bring it all online, gradually ramped it up. Over the last decade or 15 years since the 9/11 attacks, we've seen around about 70 or 80 pieces of legislation introduced into Australia, which have effectively removed the people of Australia of every single one of their rights. It's enabled anybody to be arrested without charge or trial and held indefinitely, and basically has brought the police state online unbeknownst to the people. It's already there, and now they're just bringing it out and making it a little bit more overt and putting it a little bit more in people's faces. And by the end of the year, it's going to be right in people's faces. I would suggest, folks, if the people do not stand up and begin calling this out while they still have the ability to do so. And don't listen to the people who are telling you to remain complacent and just think positive. Sure, think positive and be in the right vibrational state, but turn to face this system, folks. Start talking to your neighbours about what's going on. Start having conversations around the kitchen table and start going to your council meetings and start standing up against what this system is doing. And if the council isn't going to change it and isn't going to listen to you, then tell them that you're going to dismiss them and start taking action to do so and put some people of integrity in there. Put yourselves in there. Put someone in there who's actually going to help turn this around for your local community. We've all got to get involved in our local communities while we have the ability to do it. And look, I'm going to be coming back. I'm going to Peru for a while, but I'm going to be coming back to Australia. Don't think I'm running away from all of this, but I just simply can't get healthy here. I've got to go over there and I've got a bunch of talks I've got to do, and I want to really try to get some organic food into me and really get some health and exercise into me and get ready for what's coming down, because if I'm going to stand up against this system, then I need to be healthy to do it. And I can't do that in this country at the moment. I simply don't have the support here to be able to do that. I just find myself not eating regularly, and it's just difficult for me to maintain. Even since I got back, I'm sleeping hours, odd hours all over the place. I'm sleeping in the middle of the day and I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just all over the place at the moment. So I need to find somewhere to get a little bit of stability and to gather my thoughts a little bit and then be able to come back and face this system head on with the rest of my countrymen, because that's really what it's coming to. And we've got to do it in the right way, folks. It's got to be done in a peaceful way, but it's got to be done in a responsible way and an eloquent way. And we can't pull any punches with this. We've got to realize that what we're dealing with here is racketeering. We're dealing with a criminal cabal. This isn't a government anymore. It's a criminal cabal that has built a private army in our police force and is locking itself down around us. And it's time we stood up and called it out for what it is. It really is time for us to make a stand, folks. Now, just to shift focus here a little bit for a while, I've done videos and I've done shows, I've done whole films, I've done a film, The Awakening, I've done talks, I've done major presentations on the energetic universe and the energetic nature of reality. I believe this to be an electrical universe. That's what I believe. You may not believe that, but that's just what I believe. I believe everything to be electrical. I believe it's all electromagnetism. I've spoken about this way back since the beginning, since the first shows I've ever done. The film The Awakening that I put out in 2009, I went into this pretty extensively. The fact that it's a universe basically of energy. That's what it is. That's what we have. That's what we're made of. That's what every thought we perceive, every thought we have is. That's what every feeling and every emotion that we feel is. We project these things into the field around us, and the field mirrors back what we are projecting into the field. But ultimately, it's all energy. Everything is energy. Every person, every rock, every blade of grass, everything, all matter, everything consists of energy. And it's the same for the thoughts and feelings that you have. These are electrical impulses. And there are two polarities to the energy. One we may call black, one we may call white, good, bad, positive, negative, love, fear, whatever you want to call it. But basically, it's an emotionally based reality. The feelings and thoughts that we have and we project are what creates that reality. And what we project is based on our choice of how we process information. It really is. It's a choice that we have. Very often, though, it's a program that people are running. Very often, people don't realize that they have a choice and they just run the programs that have been embedded into them. But really, it's a choice, folks, and it's what type of emotion you choose to apply or attach to information that you receive. Now, a lot of the information that I bring to you on the shows may seem like it's negative information, but really it's not negative. It's just information. What is negative is the emotion that people attach to the information. What is negative is the disempowering emotion that people attach to the information. See, people see the system and they see this police state coming online and they see all the stuff that I'm talking about and they feel very disempowered that this is happening around them. And I don't intend for that to be what they feel. That is not the message that I'm attempting to deliver to you, because if you've listened to the earlier shows that I've done and you've listened to what I've spoken about in the nature of the energetic universe, if you're a frequent listener of this show, you understand how to deal with this information. You understand it's simply about processing light. And that's what it's about. See, I look at all of this stuff that's happening around us, and to me, I feel empowered by the knowledge that this is happening because it gives me the ability to deal with it. But the problem that I have in dealing with it is that I need support. I need people around me to be aware of what is going on as well, so that we can all stand and deal with this together, because there is strength in numbers. And really, all the numbers have to do is to unite. We don't really have to actually march in the street or go and overthrow the government or anything. All we have to do is unite in one strong voice together and turn to face it and call it out. Because if we do that, it has nowhere to go. You know, the system depends on our compliance. That's the whole basis of its power. We must comply with it. And while the system can keep us divided and squabbling amongst each other, that's never going to happen, which is what all of the division plays are all about. And so people need to see how they're being played, and they need to put down all this divisionist programming. They really do. And it's really gotten to a ridiculous degree lately. It really has. The amount of infighting. The flat earthers and the globe earthers just cannot stop going at each other's throats. And the interesting thing about the globe earth and flat earth debate is that according to both parties, you must take a side. And that's the thing. You can't believe, like I do, that it's an electrical universe. You have to believe that it's either a globe or that it's flat. And personally, if you're someone like me who really has an objective mind and can't find enough information to satisfy my curiosity either way, then you become an enemy of both camps. And the flat earthers attack you and the globe earthers attack you simply because you will not take a side. And that has been an incredibly polarizing movement, and it has been such a clever play. And again, it isn't about whether the earth is flat or whether it's a globe. It's about how the movement is being played and the division that it's creating. And very deliberate with a lot of the players in the flat earth movement, they go out of their way to create as much division as possible. And that's very counterproductive, folks, but there's a lot of plays like this going on at the moment. But again, being objective about it, you have to look at it and say, well, it isn't just the flat earthers that are doing that, it's also the globe earthers that are going out of their way to create division with them and the flat earthers. Neither one will respect each other's research, and very often neither camp is actually prepared to do any real research. The flight from Sydney to Santiago that I documented a few weeks ago, just to clear up a bit of noise on the issue, is a perfect example of that. When you look at the responses I got for daring to make that flight that some people claim doesn't exist. And again, this was made by a person such as myself who's on the fence, who doesn't have an opinion either way, and simply wants to clear up a little bit of noise to try to stop some of the arguments. And the animosity and response and personal attacks I got for daring to make that flight just indicates how little people are prepared to look at things objectively. people get a polarized idea, they focus on it, and they are simply not open to debate from that point. And it's a very unfortunate thing because we're seeing it on both sides of the fence. And again, the one common ground, the one common factor that you see with all of these mechanisms is the enormous amount of hatred and division and animosity that comes in the debates. People simply aren't prepared to discuss things with each other anymore. They have an idea, they have a focus, they've made up their mind already before they even start the debate, and so it turns into a screaming match. This is very much the way it is on both sides of the camp with the flat earth, globe earth debate. Everybody thinks everybody who thinks differently to them is an idiot, and they have no problems in saying so. And even if you are someone who doesn't agree with either theory, then they attack you as well. It's just the way the movement has been constructed, and I believe it's come out at a very, very crucial time simply to create the division that it's created, because as we can see, since this movement started, the police state has just ramped up to a ridiculous degree. Things have gotten out of control in just about all of our countries in the last 12 months. And it's very, very difficult to unite anybody in any sort of coordinated response to this system, because too many people are concerned with infighting. Too many people are wasting time in these tit-for-tat online exchanges, and they're not actually dealing with the world around them. I've had people attacking me, folks probably expecting a response from me, and it just gets boring and lame after a while. But there's so many people that are attacking everybody they can find in order to generate responses, so that the activists who are actually dealing with the system have to turn and fend off all of this rubbish that's going on around them and waste their energy battling amongst their peers, when really we should all be focused on the system that is unfolding and this criminal cabal, this cacistocracy of racketeers that is running all of our governments. We need to stop these people from doing what they're doing, folks. We need to take this matter in hand and stop the ship of state from sailing off the cliff the way it's going. We need to regain control of this world. Rather than arguing about what shape it is, we need to actually establish some freedom to find out what shape it is, and then we'll have something to go on. But until then, we're just sitting here squabbling while the walls are being built around us, and it's really gotten to a ridiculous degree. You know, I really believe this is an energetic universe, ladies and gentlemen, I really do. And it's about the energetic state that we're in, and when we have these debates that get heated and get ugly and we start calling each other names and we don't respect each other's views, this plays right into the hands of the system. It puts you in the wrong energy and it manifests the wrong energy around you. Therefore, this is what you're projecting into the field, and this is what the field is projecting back to you. The field is projecting back division and animosity and hatred and all of the things we're experiencing. People who claim to be spiritually aware and then go out of their way to attack others are not spiritually aware, they are spiritually bankrupt. They are lost in false ego. And this is what we are seeing in so much of the movement now, and it simply has to stop. If we're going to find a way out of this mess, we have to stop and put ourselves back into the correct energetic state, and that means respecting all views and all opinions. You know, if we can't learn to do that first and foremost, then we're simply never going to get anywhere. That has to be the first thing we do, is put down all our stuff with each other. I know I've been beating this drum for like 8 years on this radio show, but really, it's what we have to do. Without that respect, we're defeated before we've begun in any type of change that we wish to bring about in this world. And don't follow leaders, folks. Don't follow self-appointed gurus. Certainly don't do that. Don't follow me. I've been saying this for years. Don't follow me. All I'm offering you is an opinion. I'm just a guy like you. I'm not anything special. So don't follow me. Follow your own heart. Listen to what is said. Look at what's going on around you. Analyze information that's given to you. Don't be so hasty to want to believe anything. Simply look at it and remain objective, and don't have any stake in the outcome of any particular side of the information becoming true or false. Just look at it, put it on the table, and see where it leads you. That's the real way investigation should be conducted. And when people ask questions, respect the questions that they ask. Let people ask questions. That's how people learn. If they're not allowed to ask questions and people are expected to simply accept things at face value, and people who presented the information arc up and get abusive when the questions are brought up, well, then they are very insecure in the information they're bringing you, and you should ask these questions about all information that you're delivered. And when looking at the alternative media and looking at what's going on and looking at who is bringing you information, it's very important that you understand that each person who is bringing you information is offering you their perspective on the information that they have managed to get hold of and their interpretation of that information. There are no gurus. The guru is you. You are your own guru, your own salvation. You and what is in your heart is what will lead you out of this mess if you are prepared to stand in that. There are no gurus, folks. Be very, very wary of anybody claiming to have found the way or found the key or saying, you should follow me, I will lead you to safety. These people are snakes in the grass, folks, because the only person who can lead you to safety is yourself. But you've got to be prepared to open your heart, and you've got to be prepared to, as I said, not be too concerned with the outcome of any type of information that's brought to you. Don't have any stake in something being true or false. Just look at it and let the cards fall where they may. And keep an open mind, folks. Keep an open mind in everything that is brought to you. But always be prepared to look at it from both sides. Never lock yourself into a belief system, because belief is the enemy of knowledge. I've said that before. When you choose to believe something, it limits your chance of gaining any further knowledge on the topic should something come along which interferes with that belief system, regardless of how true or false it may be. So be very careful of belief, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, really, when you look at so much of the infighting that occurs in the independent media, it's usually based on people's belief systems. It's based on what people choose to believe, the way they have locked themselves into that belief, and their unwillingness to look at anything from any other perspective once that belief has come online for them. You know, many people see these beliefs as some sort of salvation for themselves, I suppose. It's something that answers questions for them and gives them what they believe to be a way out. And so they latch onto it and they clutch it and they won't let anything get in the way of it. But really, it is counterproductive to think that way, folks. You've always got to keep an open mind on every topic. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, belief is certainly an interesting thing, and it is one of the biggest problems that we're facing in this response to the system, is people are certainly locked into particular belief systems. Well, not everybody. There are a lot of people who are. And when these belief systems create division, well, we really have to question our beliefs. And the problem is really that we have to be prepared to allow other people to have other beliefs than the ones that we hold, because they are different people. Of course, they're going to believe different things because they've had access to different information. And everybody doesn't have to think the same as we do. Everybody doesn't have to have the same structured beliefs as everybody else. What we need to do is to realize that everybody has a piece of the puzzle and that everybody's views should be respected, and that, in fact, we are all facing a common foe at the moment, and that foe is our governments and what they are doing. And of course, it's probably what lies behind our governments. As we know, these are all puppet corporate institutions, but really the government is our interface towards getting a bit of a rein on what lies behind it. But unless we're prepared to put our beliefs aside for the moment and simply stand up in a united cry for freedom, then I think we're going to be heading for some pretty dark times, folks. And so I think it would be prudent if we were to just put all this stuff aside for the moment and turn and face the system, as I've been saying for the last 8 years on air. And look, I can appreciate that the shows have probably taken a little bit of a change in format for the last 6 months or a year. And I've changed the format of the shows, folks, because things have become a little bit desperate in the world. They really have. And I've put out enough information in the first 7 years of ways of dealing with the energetic universe, ways of understanding yourself a little bit better, ways of applying spiritual understandings to the world, and ways of directing them towards any response to this system. But it gets to a point where you can only say that so many ways, and I've put the information out there solidly for 7 years, so those shows are still there if people want to go and get access to that information. I highly recommend that people do. It's all there on the website, on the Crow House Radio Archive, so you can still get that information. But things have changed so much in the last 12 to 18 months that it's become necessary to change the format of the shows a little bit just to accommodate the new state of the world, because things really have gotten pretty rough, folks. But of course, having said that, there are still ways that we can deal with the system. It still hasn't locked itself down yet, folks. We've still got a long way to go before we're helpless in the face of this. And I don't think it's going to get to that point. I think that people are going to wake up and they are going to rise up and do what counts. And like I said, what counts is to be peaceful and eloquent and just responsible in what you do. But don't be afraid of standing up. Realize that we are all living human beings. That's what exists here in our society. There is nobody who has any authority over anybody else. And really, when you look at their law, if they want to claim it's law, this stuff that they present, which is actually the color of law, but isn't really law, it's just legislation. But even that is all based on the ecclesiastic system. I mean, ultimately, it all goes back to the Vatican. That's who put this whole corporate empire in place. And that is the legal system that we're all running. And all of that is based on ecclesiastic law. So basically, even if you're not a religious person, you have the contract that you are required to adhere to in your Bible. I mean, I have a Bible here, and it says, I think on page 2 of the Bible, that God created man and gave man dominion over the earth, and that is us. We are all man. And anything below that is a creation of man. And when you choose to give that dominion over to somebody else is when you get in trouble. And if they are going to base their law on ecclesiastic law, well, then they have to prove a higher claim to you than the law of the God that they base their entire legal system on, which thereby invalidates their entire legal system. And it's important that people remember this, that people remember they are living flesh. They are living men and women, and that no other living men or women have a claim over them or have the right to exercise a claim over them or even make a claim over them. We are not corporations, ladies and gentlemen. We are not chattels. We are not goods. We are not services for the state. We are all living men and women. And the time has come for us to stand in that and exercise that freedom and exercise that sovereignty. And if we do not, then we will relinquish that sovereignty forevermore and for our children. It will take a very, very long time before we get any sort of a chance to get that sovereignty back. So now is a very important time in history, ladies and gentlemen, and it's important that people realize they are here in this 3D reality for a reason, and they are here at this time in history for a reason. This is the time that humanity wakes up and becomes free, as long as the people choose to participate. And this participation is really usually determined by the energetic state that they apply to the information that they receive. There's no such thing as negative information, folks. There is opportunity in all crisis. And the crisis that humanity now faces is the greatest opportunity for freedom we have ever had. And I believe it is time that we embrace this opportunity with open arms. I really do. You know, I truly believe in mankind's ability to escape this mesh that we find ourselves ensnared in. I really do believe in our ability to spontaneously change what's going on. I really do. I really have the most absolute faith in mankind's ability to rise to this occasion. And that's why I've worked so hard to promote unity and to promote empowerment on all the radio shows that I've done. I mean, sure, I've brought you a lot of what you may term as negative information because I've been brutally honest about what's going on. I really don't pull any punches when I look around me and I look at the state of the world. I see what the governments are doing and I see the directions that they're taking us. So I just call it like I see it. Sometimes that may be a little disturbing for people. My perspective may be a little disturbing. But hey, I just call things the way I see them. Unfortunately, I usually get things right, I've found. I have a few friends who comment that they don't know how I manage to say things that are going to happen 6 months before they do, but they always seem to come true. And it's just because I've been looking at this for a long time and I can usually see what the most likely scenario is. But hey, I don't get it all right. And I'm not saying that I can predict the future. I'm not saying that I'm anyone special or a guru or anything. I mean, that's not what it's about. It's just about looking at things and being objective. You know, you've got to keep an open mind, as I was saying before. Everything that we come across, there's always another way of looking at it. Everything. So you've got to be prepared to really not take any belief system on board if it's going to impair you on the quest for knowledge. And remember, knowledge and belief are two different things. And it's the same as knowledge and wisdom are two different things. I mean, knowledge can be gleaned in books. Knowledge can be learned through your path in life. But wisdom is something completely different. Wisdom can't be learned in books. Sometimes you'll find that children are far more wise than the adults that brought them into the world. You know, sometimes you hear the most amazing wisdom out of the mouths of little children. So wisdom and knowledge are two different things, the way knowledge and intellect are two different things. And we really need to challenge ourselves and challenge the way we look at things and always question our beliefs and see if there are contradictions in our beliefs, if we are putting contradictions in there ourselves in order to reinforce our beliefs. Are there things we're not looking at? Are there ways we're looking at things that are particularly cherry-picking them or perhaps particularly biased in one direction? Are we looking at things objectively in all that we do? That is a true quest for knowledge, folks, and that is really what wisdom is being prepared to look at things objectively and to not take any particular belief system on board. But one thing I do believe is that I believe this to be an important time. I think that we are in a very important time in history, and I think it's important that we pay attention and seize the opportunities that are provided for us. And really what this is all about, folks, is rediscovering ourselves. It's about rediscovering our hearts and rediscovering our humanity, because that's all it will take to fix things. You know, people look at this and they see this big, terrible monster unfolding before them, this big, horrible machine civilization that they're just becoming a little cog in, and they can't see any way out. They forget that what operates this machine and what exists within its parameters are just people, just like them, just like you, just like me. It's all just people, folks. The government isn't real. The government is an idea. It's an idea that built buildings, and these buildings are populated by people that we put into office to do things for us. And they're not working on our behalf. You know, like I said, we've been infiltrated. The entire Western political system, probably the Eastern political system, probably most political systems in most countries, to be quite honest, have been infiltrated by what is essentially a criminal cabal that is basically carrying out racketeering and piracy against the people of this world. They're just stealing everything they can. They're making all sorts of ridiculous trade deals. And this is, you know, very often to pay off the debts and the bills that they've incurred behind our back without us knowing. You look at some of the stuff that's going on here in Australia, getting back to this country, you know, they're talking about spending $28 billion on submarines or something for a fleet to protect our shores because they're worried about China. Well, why would they be worried about China, folks? Could it be it's because John Howard is the one who signed off on all this gas and all this coal seam gas and all this coal that they're supposed to be delivering already, and they haven't really delivered it yet? And the Australian government and the Australian people actually owe a hell of a lot of money to China because that is what the government has set up. And that's why the police state's coming online. That's why they're giving people 7 years jail if they protest a gas well or a coal mine. And think about that, 7 years jail. That's in New South Wales, and that's more jail time than what you get for being caught with an unlicensed firearm. And that's in a country where firearms have been banned, and it's a mandatory jail term for even being caught with a firearm in this country if it's unregistered. And you have the potential to get more time in jail for protesting a coal mine or some sort of mining operation than what you do for illegal possession of a firearm. You get more time in jail for protesting a mining company than you do for raping someone in this country, folks. This is absolutely ridiculous. But it shows how worried the government is about how much money they owe to China, and how this could all turn very ugly if the people protest the mining operations. But what happens if we let them go ahead? You know, we let the mining operations go ahead and we don't have a country anyway. The country gets stripped from beneath our feet. All of our food bowl gets destroyed. We're not capable of producing our own food anymore. And our environment gets destroyed and our lifestyle declines dramatically if we go through with it. So this is the position that our government has got them in. And if you think this isn't racketeering, folks, well, you really need to go and look up the word and check out what's really going on in this country, because these people have sold us down the river. And, you know, it started probably well before the Howard government, but it really got the ball rolling with the Howard government and all of the successive regimes that have been put in place since the Howard government, never more dramatically than with the current Malcolm Turnbull government. The Turnbull regime really is basically an open declaration of fascism in Australia. The laws that this man is bringing in, and it's not just the federal laws, it's state laws as well. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. This really is an open declaration of fascism in Australia, and that's why we need to stand up and really call things accountable, folks. That's why we need to start approaching it on the ground level as well with our local councils, simply going in and saying, hey, look, we're not going to do this, and if you don't comply with our wishes, then we're going to take the necessary steps to have you dismissed, and we're going to replace you with some people of integrity. And not only that, we're going to have you charged for your actions, and then we're going to go up the food chain, we're going to deal with the state government, and we're going to deal with the federal government as well, because these people have sold us out. And this is racketeering, folks. This isn't government. Not anymore. Not in this country. This is a fascist criminal empire. That's what it is. And if you can look at its actions, well, it seems to be openly declaring itself, and we need to pay attention. So get involved, folks. Get involved in your local community. Like I said, start going to your council meetings. Start having conversations around the kitchen table. Everybody's annoyed. I mean, you're going to find that everybody is going to want to talk about this now. The legislation is getting way too out of control. And you're going to find that your people that you didn't think were interested in conspiracy theories are actually now going to be quite interested in what you've got to say, because this is no longer any type of theory. There is a conspiracy. These politicians have banded together and they're doing some very, very terrible things. And the only people who can stop them in each respective country is the people of that country. But they have to be prepared to stand up and step into their humanity in order to do it. In order for that to happen, they have to remember that they are each living men and women of beautiful, perfect, righteous flesh that was put on this earth by their Creator, and they have every right to be here, and nobody has any authority over them, nobody has any claim of ownership over them, and nobody has any right to make them do anything they do not want to do, and most especially to destroy their environment in order to support a fictional economy, because that's essentially what's happening. You know, I've often referred to it as the economic pathogen, that which makes us destroy things around us in order to put money in the bank, that which causes us to judge ourselves and our peers by our social standing, the social pathogen which is supported by the economic pathogen, of course. I've often referred to this, and, you know, the understanding that the economy is fiction and that money is not real, and you can't eat it, and you can't maintain a system of permanent growth in a country of finite resources. Not in any country in the world can you do this. Not anywhere in this world can you maintain a system. Not if you exploit and harvest the entire world can you maintain a system based in permanent growth that is used essentially to balance the books of an economic model which is based in scarcity and debt. I mean, the whole thing cancels itself out, folks. Really, when you look at this system, it's designed to implode. It's designed to milk all the wealth of this earth and transfer it into the hands of a very small group of people. The question is why? Why do they need all these resources? Is it really the resources that they're after? Is it the energy of the people that they're after? I mean, there seems to be a very, very concerted effort to rip a lot of minerals and resources out of the earth that I really can't see why we need them all. I can't see why we need to do anything the way we do. And so is it really just about supporting the economy? I mean, sure, you know, we tend to place a lot of value on it. But what's it really for? I mean, the coal seam gas model, the wells that are doing this terrible damage throughout Queensland and throughout England as well, where it's destroying the water table, destroying the groundwater, it's also causing a massive release of methane into the atmosphere, which will probably help with the depopulation. But you've got to wonder, I mean, what's it really all about? Why are we pulling this incredible amount of minerals and resources out of this earth and pulling all the gold out and poisoning all the water and basically strip mining our home? What's it for? What is the purpose of this? It certainly isn't to serve the needs of humanity. It certainly isn't to service the needs of society. I mean, it isn't the act of any type of sane mind, the mind that has organized this. There seems to be no rhyme or reason as to why we do things the way we do. And it isn't a case of pure psychopathy, I'm sure. I mean, one must wonder. I mean, psychopaths do weird things. They obviously just want to watch the world burn. But you've just got to wonder. None of this makes sense. Nothing we see going on in the world today makes sense. So the question is, what really lies behind this whole scenario? That's something that I'd love to find out. You know, I can prove that it's any number of things is the problem. I've spoken about this on recent talks. That's really the problem, folks, is that when you really start investigating, you're trying to find someone to point the finger at, you end up with so many people to point the finger at, and you can prove, in inverted commas, that it's pretty well anyone you like. So it comes back to us. It always comes back to us. It comes back to us establishing freedom, and that's not going to happen unless we can step into our hearts. And if we can do that, then I believe we can break down the barriers between ourselves and our neighbours and the people around us, and we can simply stand up and call it. To me, the remedy to this situation, it's so simple. It really is. That's the problem, is that it's too simple. People believe there must be a battle to be fought. There must be some sort of forms to fill out, something else to do. But really, it's just a matter of us stepping into our hearts and standing up in one united cry for freedom. That'll happen by naming the system for what it is. It's a slavery system run by a group of racketeers who've infiltrated all our governments. And sure, we can respect government if you want to. We can respect law if you want to. We can respect the state and the nation if you want to. But it's got to be something honest. It can't be a system that's run by criminals and racketeers. And it is. It's run by racketeers. Everybody's in a state of scarcity and hardship. We've got incredibly huge jail populations in what are supposed to be free countries. We've got everybody scrounging for pennies here and there. Everybody scrambling to try to stay alive because this economic system is milking them of every single piece of wealth that they have. And again, folks, our governments tell us that they do all this stuff to support the economy, and the economy is there to support the people of the country, but the people are who suffer in order to support the economy. So it's all backwards. It's all backwards. It's a joke. It's doublespeak. It's theatre for the masses. They're tricking us. They're leading us down the garden path, and they're just destroying everything that is great about being a human being. So I think we need to look at it, folks. I mean, we've got to call it. We've got to stand up and call it. We can't go on the way we are. We can't continue to be politically correct. And we've got to stop fighting amongst each other. For God's sake, folks, we've really got to stop all this fighting. We've got to stop all the infighting. We've got to stop abusing each other. We've got to start respecting each other's different beliefs and turn and face the problem that is creating all this situation to begin with. Then we can go back to our research. We can go and investigate anything we want because we have the freedom to do so. At the moment, we don't. All we've got is information that's put for us online. It's just put there. It's put there in books. It's put online, and we don't know. Often, we've never gone and investigated anything firsthand for ourselves. Too many people just latch on to whatever it is that supports their belief system. They never actually go and investigate it for themselves, and that's a problem. But again, it's because we don't have the freedom to do it. So let's get some freedom, folks. Let's establish some freedom, and then we can find out what's really going on here. And we can rein this system in and get a bit of beauty and abundance and prosperity happening on this earth. Get some peace happening. And get a situation where we are in a Garden of Eden, where we are in a world of abundance, because that's what this is. It's a world of abundance, folks. And we can turn it into the Garden of Eden. We can turn it into whatever we want to turn it into if we just remember and rediscover ourselves and step into the role that we were born to step into. And now is the time in history that has been set up for us to step into that role. As I said earlier, folks, there is opportunity in every crisis, and that's why this crisis is happening. It's to provide mankind with the opportunity to rediscover themselves and to step into it. And we step into that, put down our fear, step into our humanity and just call it, then it's game, set and match for the control grid. It simply has nowhere to go from that point. So I say we do it. You know, it's interesting, folks. Everybody's looking for a way out. Everybody's looking for the remedy, the golden key that will lead them to freedom. And the golden key is in their hands. It's in their hearts. It's always been there. It's within themselves. It's just in the one place that they're very often not prepared to look. And it's going to get worse, this system. It's going to continue to ramp itself up until we choose to rediscover ourselves and step into our humanity. But the more it does, the more it ramps up, the more it strips us of our life and our liberty and our possessions and all that it means to be human, then the freer we become, the more we are given the opportunity to stand up. Because when you take something from everybody, well, they have nothing left to lose and they become truly free and they do truly stand up. And they're very careful not to push it to that point, but it is fast getting to that point, where people are so used to living in this Western lifestyle where they've got all this stuff that they need, and they've got all these mod cons and these conveniences, that when these things are taken away from them, they're going to see it in their face, and they're going to feel that they have lost everything that ever meant anything to them, and they are going to stand up. They are going to see it as an opportunity for freedom, because that's what it is. And I truly believe that we will get through this. I just feel pain and sorrow for those who will suffer along the way by their not choosing to stand up now while we have more opportunities available to us. While it isn't as ugly as it could get and will get if people don't choose to stand up. You know, we don't want to get to a point where humanity's back is totally against the wall and we have no other choice but to fight our way out of the mess that we find ourselves in. And it would be terrible if we got to that point. A lot of people would suffer. And I do what I do because I care about humanity and I wish to change the human condition. I don't wish to see anybody left behind. I don't wish to see anybody suffering along the way. And I'll take whatever remedy is going to lead us to safety, whatever path is going to lead there, any straw that I can clutch at, which may get enough attention of the people to be able to lead them to some sort of safety, I'm prepared to take on. So I'm really open to ideas, and I'm sure most people are, but we've got to be prepared to listen to each other, folks. I mean, my idea is for us to simply respect each other for a start and stand up and call it. And honestly, I cannot see any other way out of this system. I can't see any battle that we can fight to get ourselves out of this mess. I can't see any type of political system or political party we could start or vote in to get us out of this mess. The only thing that I can see is humanity choosing to step into their hearts. But they're not going to do that until they remember who and what they are. And that's why I've put so much focus on that, on so many shows that I've done over so many years. This incredible need for mankind to remember who and what they are. And really that's what it is, folks. It's a remembering. And that's been the purpose for everything I've done. It's to change the human condition. That's really what this struggle is about. That's the only way we're ever going to get freedom, is if we change the human perspective and gear it towards changing the human condition. And it's really counterproductive to abuse people who hold different belief systems to you. I mean, even with all the talk that I speak out against Israel, I don't judge the Jewish people because they're programmed. I hear a lot of talk online from rampant vegans who attack meat eaters as well. This is incredibly counterproductive because they're so insulting with what they do. If you are so completely locked into veganism and you totally believe this is the way to go, then you should have the respect for people to understand that if they are eating meat and you think that's wrong, it's because they're programmed into eating that way. And being angry with them and yelling at them and screaming at them and calling them murderers is not helping. It's counterproductive. People do what they do because they are programmed. People vote the way they do because they're programmed. People have religious and belief systems the way they do because they're programmed. They have codes embedded into them by other people, by the lifestyles that they've grown up in, by the society they've grown up in, by their education, by all sorts of reasons. So it's counterproductive to attack and belittle people who have different belief systems to you. And I see far too much of this in so many degrees all over the internet and in the way people communicate with each other. And it really doesn't get us anywhere, folks. It's time we put all that down. And it's time we respected each other. It really is. But look, folks, I think we're at the end of the show here. I think I've completely run out of time, so I'm going to have to go. Don't forget, I'll be speaking at the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia on April 16th and at AV7 in the UK on May 13th and at the Open Mind Conference in Amsterdam on May 21st. So I hope to see you all there. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. I really could use some contributions, folks. It's been very, very difficult lately. I've actually lost pretty well the last of my money by coming home to speak at Petraea Festival and the gig got cancelled. So all the airfares that I spent coming back to do it are now lost, and I'm really going back to Peru with very, very little to tide me over for the future. So anybody who could make any contribution, it would be very much appreciated at this time, ladies and gentlemen. But that is it for me. I've got to go. I will try to get a show done for you next week. I think there's every chance I'll actually get one done too. So please take very good care until then, and I'll look forward to speaking to you next week. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.